Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. I think Donnie Wrightside is smirking because Wrightside is quickly going to be changed to Dreisaitl. We recap game number 4 in Edmonton last night of the Western Conference Finals, where Donnie Dreisaitl was running around his house late night as the Oilers even the series at 2 games apiece. We'll look at the Stanley Cup postseason after a night off from the association action in this postseason. We're back into the NBA playoffs as we change venues for a second time in the Western Conference Finals. It's game 5 tonight in the Twin Cities between the T-Wolves and the Mavericks. A very robust and full slate on a Wednesday in Major League Baseball. And you bet your bottom dollar, if the French Open is playing, we will detail it for you here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid.
Oh, yeah. A lot to get to. A lot of guests today. So you might be surprised who's going to show up on the early line. But also, more importantly, profitable night for the boys in the house yesterday. RBI props, game props, side props. We did it all yesterday, BSS. And you know what? We're looking to do it all again today because you're right. The NBA is back in our lives. Could we see a game 6 and an extended series? We'll find out.
2 shows so far this week following Memorial Day, holiday weekend, unofficial start of summer.
Yeah.
And the boys have gone back to back with 2 best bet sweeps. We keep that rolling on this Thursday. It was a surprise who our big reunion guest is in hour number 2, but the guy had to spoil it last night. I guess you never bury the lead when Kevin Walsh makes his return to the early line for the first time for a full hour. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the early line. Craig Mish and Pete Jensen in hour number 3 as well. So we start DRS here in the 7-7. The headlines you need to know that are the most important around the sports landscape. We start with the action on the ice last night, game number 4 in Edmonton. The Dallas Stars, a 2-1 series advantage after taking games 2 and 3, but the Oilers booked as a home ice favorite, and they deliver. Despite Dallas taking an early 2-0 lead, about 5 minutes into the opening period, the Oilers respond, including the 10th playoff goal for Leon Draisaitl, Donnie's cousin, that made it a 4-2 game at the end of the second. Edmonton adds a 5th goal in the third, a 5-2 victory for the Oilers as the Western Conference Finals, like the ECF on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason, tied at 2 games apiece.
Fantastic game overall. And what do you want to do as the road team? Try to put a clamp on this series, get up early in the opponent's building, which is exactly what the Dallas Stars did yesterday, going up 2-0, as Ben pointed out, in the first 5 minutes, actually scored their first goal within 1 minute into the game.
Yeah.
To sort of dim that crowd and look bad. Maybe it's a 3-1 series lead. As you go back to Dallas, 5 unanswered goals scored by the Edmonton Oilers, which included that goal in the second period to make it 4-2 by Leon Draisaitl, and also McDavid. 3 assists in this game. Needed your superstars to come up big. Down 2-0. You did it. Now we're even. Going back to Dallas. What a series we have.
Donnie Draisaitl with a large smile on his face. Dallas entered game number four last night as a hefty minus 260 series outright favorite to win the West in advance of the Stanley Cup final. We head back to Dallas. The store is still a series outright favorite, but the price only minus 120. Man, the New York Mets late in a baseball game. Things are bad. Tied at three yesterday, entering the eighth against the Dodgers in the third and final game of this midweek set. L.A. played six in the eighth, including the second home run of the game for Will Smith. A two-run shot for Shohei Ohtani. He had three ribbies yesterday as the Dodgers win big 10-3, but that's not really the main story. Jorge Lopez, a reliever for New York, gets ejected from the game, throws his glove up into the stands as he's walking off the field, badmouths the Amazons after the game, and then got DFA'd, designated for assignment by the Mets after, pretty much meaning he got cut. Things have not been good this year in the heart of New York City, Queens.
No, certainly haven't been here for the Mets. And also, you pointed out, he did throw his glove into the stands, got ejected on a check swing call. And you sometimes you say, all right, let's get some passion, let's get some fight in here. But you never want to get in front of the cameras and basically say, we are the worst team out here. And then say, well, if they want me back tomorrow, I'll certainly be here and we'll see what happens. Yeah, the first plane out of town is going to be playing for the Cyclones over there. And what is that, Long Island or Coney Island, whatever island over there in New York we have. But there it is. Yeah, whatever. He's gone.
Listen,
he gone.
Brooklyn Cyclones game on Coney Island, a great, great time. But we'll save that for another day. The Mets have now dropped 15 of their last 19 games, swept by the Dodgers, who entered this week in Queens on a five-game skid. Coaching news around the NBA. Tyronn Lue signs a five-year, $70 million extension, nearly $70 million, but we'll give him $70 million with the L.A. Clippers to become one of the highest-paid coaches in the association. 4 years in L.A. for Ty Lue, including leading the Clips to their first-ever Western Conference Finals appearance back in 2021. Now the question, Donnie, what happens with Paul George and James Harden this offseason?
Yeah, and that's our questions also. The one thing we do know is the Los Angeles Clippers chalked with money about the move into their new building. They got their coach of the future and the present right now. I have no issues with that. There's no salary cap. There's no luxury tax on hiring coaches and a coaching staff. If you feel you got one you want to wrap up for a long time, and Tyronn Lue is a very good coach. I like the move overall. It's crazy to see how much coaches are now making, specifically in the NBA, when we often look and say, how influential is a coach actually when it's really up to the players? But they like Tyronn Lue. They got paid, and here we go.
Tyronn Lue might be one of the longest tenured head coaches by the start of next season in the NBA as well. Donnie, did you know where Brian Keefe was the interim head coach of to end out this season?
Hold on, let me see. Brian Keefe, they removed the interim tag. I'm actually drawing a blank on where it's from, but it doesn't matter. It does, like, it doesn't even matter who it, which it's Washington, right? It's Washington. I didn't cheat, but I sort of came back to me. Yeah. But hey, Brian, look, you got the interim tag removed. Congratulations. At the end of the year, you'll be fired. So you'll probably have an interim tag coming into next year somewhere else as well.
Yes, the Wizards removed the interim tag off Brian Keefe.
He probably wishes that
permanent head coach. What'd you say?
He probably quite more bought into the meeting. Like, hey, by the way, we're going to remove the interim tag. He's like, damn it, I didn't want that to happen. So
he was just hoping for the interim paycheck. Longtime assistant around the NBA, now will become a permanent full-time head coach in the nation's capital. Big day yesterday for college hoops and the NBA draft. Deadline day where you had to make your intentions clear. Returning to college, staying in the NBA draft. And we've got a lot of talent coming back. Coleman Hawkins, R.J. Davis, Alex Caravan, who will try to lead the three-peat in stores for UConn. Caleb Love says, I'm not done yet. And keep an eye on the Crimson Tide. Mark Sears returns to Tuscaloosa. He'll be back for Alabama and Nate Oates next season.
Yeah, I got questions on this. This is the single worst draft we've ever seen, and guys are going back to college, which means they obviously know they're not ever going to be an NBA player, and they want to enjoy one last year of NIL money before they have to go out and go to Enterprise, rent a car, or whoever hires the NCAA athletes after they're done at this point. But that's what I'm getting out of it. What type of bad advice are we getting? This is a terrible draft. Put your name in the draft. Come on.
But you could maybe make more NIL money than a two-way G League deal. That's what the state of college hoops is right now. All charges dropped yesterday in Louisville against Scottie Scheffler after video surfaced of the actual interaction outside of Valhalla Golf Club about 2 weeks ago. The Louisville Police Department has dropped all charges against Scheffler.
Yeah, and they should. And we've seen nothing to the contrary where he should have been charged with any crime at this point. Good to see that they reverse field, drop the charges, and Scottie Scheffler can go on with his PGA Tour.
Yes, that is the case. And, of course, it wouldn't be a day on the early line if we didn't bring you the 2024 French Open update. Iga Świątek, the hefty favorite in the women's draw, taken to match point by Naomi Osaka yesterday, but she bounces back. That's Świątek. She survives a match point, DRS. She
thank
is
goodness.
On to the next round. Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness, man. By the way, is yesterday, was that the championship? Is it over today, or do we have more tennis?
No, Świątek will be in the women's final, though. Joe Frizzo and myself hoping for that. We go around MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A sweep at Citi for the LA Dodgers, who entered this midweek series in Major League Baseball riding a five-game skid. Not something we will often say about LA throughout this regular season. But on the other side, the New York Mets. And DRS, if yesterday's game, the third and final of a midweek set up in Queens at Citi Field between the Amazons and the Dodgers, is emblematic of New York's season, it was on full display. Tied at 3-3 entering the eighth inning. L.A. scores 6 in the top half of the eighth, including the second long ball of the day from Will Smith. A Shohei Ohtani 2-run shot. He had 3 RBIs yesterday against New York. And Jorge Lopez ejected from the game, arguing a check swing, tosses his glove into the stands, and then ridiculed the Mets as an organization to only get DFA'd. Pretty much he was cut, designated for assignment following the game by the Mets organization. Things are bad in New York. The Dodgers win 10-3 to complete the sweep over the Mets. But New York now has lost 15 of its last 19 games, and things are bad up in Queens.
Yeah, by the way, shout out J.D. Martinez going 1-5 yesterday, but recording an RBI in the fifth inning to cash in a ticket. So it was a glorious day overall for me, being a Philadelphia Phillies fan, with them picking up the victory, the Mets getting a loss and seemingly in turmoil now at 22-33. You saw the postgame presser there where, you know, you talk about a pitcher that's upset. The last thing you want to put the blame on yourself. Hey, I lost my cool. I apologize. You know, we'll get this together. He took the opposite route, and now he is out of town at this point. But also, they had a closed-door meeting with the players themselves. Keep in mind also, Pete Alonso got hit with a pitch in the first inning and didn't come back to the game. X-rays were negative on the finger, so it wasn't broken. Thank goodness for that for the Mets. But I don't know where they go from here. Usually it's like you hit rock bottom and you go higher. They are already so far buried in contention in the NL East because of the good start from the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. That's already out of the equation. We haven't even gotten to June yet. This is crazy for the Mets. And again, I don't know what happens from here on out, but we sort of were entering into a season almost as a throwaway for the Mets, and it seems like the Mets throwing the season away and gloves apparently into the stands.
Yeah, things are really bad for the Amazons. You have all the money in the world from Uncle Steve Cohen, and yet you're kind of in this squandering limbo phase right now after the failed investment last year with Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, and where things stand at the moment. Not a ball club good enough to truly compete for a pennant, so you're not really diving back in, but rebuilding for 2025 and beyond, going to be a tough rest of the summer in New York. World Series rematch continues yesterday in Arlington. Some day baseball between the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. And much like the World Series, Texas continues to have the number of Arizona. The Rangers win the second game of this set 6-1 as a minus 136 home money line favorite. A total of 8.5 does stay under. And Corey Seager is lights out right now. 2-run home run for Texas yesterday in the home half of the fifth. His 8th long ball DRS in as many games. 8 home runs in 8 games for the Rangers. They beat the D-backs yesterday 6-1.
Yeah, sometimes it's not even really about handicaps. You're just riding the hot hand, which certainly Corey Seager does have that. 8 games and 8 home runs. And it's crazy to look at. Yesterday he goes 1-for-3 with the home run and 2 RBI, only hitting 260 for the season. With that type of run early, you expect Corey Seager to be hitting 360 and not 260. But that's a good victory for them. But let's flip it back over to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who've now dropped to 25-30 on the season. Corbin Carroll yesterday went 3-of-5 at the plate. Rose his average to what? Oh, 290, 310? No, to 194. So an anchor in your lineup who's a very good player who maybe just uses this game as a springboard to finally get over 200 in the next couple days. We'll see. But this certainly isn't the Arizona Diamondbacks team that we saw all throughout the playoffs last year, right through to the World Series. They're scuffling right now. And the Rangers getting closer and closer now to 500 after that terrible streak they've been on for the past, what, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, absolutely so. The Rangers enter this series losers of 10 of their last 13 games. Now they have rattled off 2 wins in the World Series rematch against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That a short set this week. So as we keep it rolling around MLB, we go up to Seattle late night between these two divisional foes in the American League West, the Mariners and the Astros. Great pitching performance as expected with a total pregame of 7. Between the Astros and the Mariners, Justin Verlander on one side for Houston. 7 innings of work, only 3 hits, only allowed a single earned run, 9 Ks. George Kirby on the other side, only a single earned run, 8 strikeouts. But it was J.P. Crawford in extras winning it for Seattle. A walk-off RBI sac fly as the Mariners beat the Astros once again. 2-1 the final. Seattle a very slight favorite yesterday, -112 at home. The Astros DRS have now lost 5 of their last 7.
Yeah, and then back to the when are we going to turn the season around? Only it's getting later and later in order to do that. That loss there drops them to 24-32. But also the Seattle Mariners start getting going. 5 games now above 500. Maybe they take control of the AL West. You look at Verlander on the hill. He gave you exactly what you needed. 7-inning pitch, 1 earned run. You're supposed to win that. And also chipped in with 9 strikeouts. Verlander being much better on the road this year than at home. And obviously we know that. When you're pitching in Houston, that's a small ballpark. When you're pitching up in Seattle, that is a large ballpark. Park. Lost that game. Is it time? Is the fork coming out to stick it in the Houston Astros just yet, Ben? Are we ready to do that? Or are we still holding out hope? It's a long summer. And yeah, how long is the summer going to be?
Yeah, I still hold out hope because I do think there are a certain few ways that Houston can get there. But you're right. The burden is on the Astros to really turn things around. Seth Lugo has been sensational this year for the Kansas City Royals. He improves to 9-1 with another victory yesterday as the Royals snap a 3-game skid, get their first win of this midweek set against their AL Central divisional foes in the Minnesota Twins. In Minneapolis, the Royals win outright as an underdog. That was the best bet for me yesterday with Lugo on the bump. KC victorious 6-1 over Minnesota.
Yeah, Witt, Perez, and Velasquez each with 2 hits yesterday. We're waiting for my guy Michael Massey to come back injured just a few games back. Hasn't been back in that lineup. That's a good victory overall. Ober on the mound, 5 innings pitched, 6 earned runs and 9 hits. Kansas City broke out the bats yesterday and came away with the dub.
Nelson Velasquez, 2 home runs yesterday for the Kansas City Royals, snapping that 3-game skid. But the Twins, still 5 games above 500. More around Major League Baseball comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader yesterday in Detroit. It was 2 of 16 games that we had on a full Wednesday around Major League Baseball, both during the daytime hours in the Motor City, and a couple of great pitching performances and pitching matchups on the bump in Detroit. First in game number 1, it was the hometown guy, Tarek Skubal, absolutely shoving against the Buccos. The Tigers win game number 1, 8-0. Skubal getting the better of the Pirates rookie, Jared Jones, who did struggle yesterday. 7 innings of shutout work for Skubal, only 3 hits allowed, 8 strikeouts. He is now 7-1 this year with a 2-0-1 ERA, but it was also Skeens Day later in the afternoon in the second leg of the doubleheader. And Paul Skeens, the other rook for the Buccos, fantastic. Six innings of work, two earned, three hits, nine strikeouts, going well over his strikeout prop of 7.5 in the over had plus money as Pittsburgh takes the second of the doubleheader, 10-2 the final.
Yeah, aces, they absolutely love when you back them up at the plate. Case in point, Tarik Skubal, 7-1, 2.01 ERA now. You know how he feels about getting eight runs of support? It's like, yeah, I don't even need more than one or two at this point as they easily blanked Pittsburgh 8-0 in game number one. And also got both of these games correct because I felt Skubal was the right play in game number one. And then the ace returns to the mound here, the young ace, I should say, for the Pittsburgh Pirates in game number two. They easily win. Why? Because their ace was backed with 10 runs of support in that game in an easy 10-2 victory. So if you're looking from a doubleheader perspective, usually you get a split. This one was pretty easy. Ace in game one, ace in game two, rolled them both. You came away with easy run line victories there, Ben.
The Tigers minus 148 is the money line favorite in that opening game with Skubal on the bump. The Pirates were a minus 142 money line favorite with Skeens on the bump in the second game. Both of those money line favorite numbers do cash. First game's total was 6.5. Detroit went over that by themselves behind a shutout performance for Tarik Skubal. We maybe thought there would be a shutout performance for one Shota Imenaga on the road in Milwaukee yesterday. But as Mark Zeno correctly predicted on the show on TEL on a Wednesday, Imenaga's worst start in his MLB career with the Cubbies. Only a 4 1/3. Eight hits allowed, seven earned runs for Shota Imenaga. His first loss of his MLB career. He is now 5-1. And with an ERA that entered yesterday at 0.84, it's now up to 1.86 as the Brewers play 10. Christian Yelich, 3 RBIs. Willy Adames, 3 ribs as well as Milwaukee wins 10-6.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher, and certainly we expect him to bounce back. But once you get more film and more book on a pitcher, some of these hitters start to get a slight advantage over said pitchers. But also, look no further than the statistics of this game, Ben. Take a look at this. 6 of 11 with runners in scoring position here for the Milwaukee Brewers, which also included leaving on base only one runner. That means making the most of your damage, and they get 10 runs out of that. Flip it over to the Chicago Cubs. Left on base, 9. Runners in scoring position, 0-8. Imagine that. They went 0-8 with runners in scoring position, still scored 6 runs with their ace on the mound, and still lost that ball game to the Milwaukee Brewers. Tough scene out there, but again, you are going to lose games eventually, and if that was your handicapping strategy, like Mark Zuniga, say, look, you can't win them all. He was dead correct yesterday in that one.
And the Brewers are really hot right now at the dish as well. When you look at the National League Central standings, Milwaukee, the only team above 500, 32-23. St. Louis playing good baseball. They're an even 500 now, 27-27. They beat the Reds yesterday in Cincinnati. The Cubs an even 500 as well, 28-28. That means the Brew Crew, 4.5 game lead for the top spot in the National League Central. It also means I'm going back in on Shota Imenaga in his next start. The Cubbies 8-2 this year in the 10 starts Shota has made on the bump, and he remains the National League Rookie of the Year favorite. But the gap between him and Paul Skeens tightening ever so slightly. Imenaga, odds on minus money favorite entering yesterday's start. Now even money plus 100. Skeens second best price in front of Yamamoto for the Dodgers plus 380 on Pittsburgh's Paul.
Yeah, we'll see how long that leash is going to go, because the one thing we do know about young pitchers, sure, they're going to let you go, but sooner than later, you might be looking at late July, late August, and they're telling you, we're going to shut Skeens down for the rest of the season. We'll see how long they let Imenaga go, but more pitching on Imenaga's arm, obviously, than Skeens, just breaking into Major League Baseball. Imenaga in the past has thrown much more innings professionally. We'll see how it plays out at this point, but for my money, I still think Imenaga should be that plus 100 favorite at this point.
Me? Yeah, absolutely so. I think Shota Imenaga is going to contend for the National League Cy Young, let alone Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. I agree with the point, DRS. I certainly do. It's game number 5. Tonight of the Western Conference Finals back in Minneapolis. The T-Wolves facing elimination. The Mavs 1 win away from the NBA Finals. A preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
allow us to set the stage on this Thursday morning live right here on the early line for game number 5 of the Western Conference Finals tonight in Minneapolis as the Timberwolves return home, having staved off elimination and a sweep in game number 4 in Dallas. The T-Wolves reward having to do so once again as a 4.5-point favorite at home tonight in the Twin Cities with an over-under of 209 and a hook. On the other side, the hungry Dallas Mavericks as an underdog. One win away from their third ever berth to the NBA Finals in franchise history. Their first in more than a decade since they won the Larry O'Brien Trophy back in 2011. Those are the stakes for tonight in Minnesota. Again, the Timberwolves, a 4.5-point favorite. The total at 209 and a hook. How do you see game 5 of the WCF playing out?
You know, normally, from what we're hearing and also what the anticipation is, you take a look at the Timberwolves as a favorite. Let's just call it 5 here. So they should win this game based on the odds and have a game number 6, which will be played back in Dallas. Now, here's the issue. I've been saying the past 2 days, like, oh, man, don't leave the Dallas Mavericks out of this. They can easily go into Minnesota and pick up a victory. I didn't figure at the FanDuel Sportsbook, though, Ben, 78% of the tickets coming in on the Dallas Mavericks. So now we turn into that famous public loves a good dog getting 4.5 points when I wasn't even trying to pay attention to see where these splits were going and thought the Dallas Mavericks were the right side. Now, as I take a look at some of these numbers, it might have me rethinking exactly what's going to take place and maybe should we be going after the Timberwolves? Because as we know, watching the money flow in, if that line opens up at 4.5, and it's still sitting at 4.5, and you have about 80% of the tickets coming in on one side, and that line isn't going anywhere, that's certainly something to keep an eye on for that game tonight. So for me, liking the Mavericks, now seeing those numbers, cloudy brain syndrome right now for your boy.
That smells a little bit fishy on the Great Lakes up there in Minneapolis. And if you remember what the graphic indicated yesterday, it was only a 4-point number in favor of Minnesota. The hook has been added on despite heavy public betting on the Dallas Mavericks. Very intriguing. Minnesota, 4.5-point favorite for game number 1. The Mavs win outright as an underdog by 3. Minnesota, even a greater favorite for game number 2, laying 5, the largest spread in the T-Wolves' favor throughout this postseason run. The Mavericks, courtesy of the Luka Doncic dagger in the final 3 seconds, win outright as an underdog as well. So it shouldn't be a surprise then, necessarily, DRS, that the Mavericks are getting the public love, because this postseason as an underdog, Dallas in these playoffs, 5-1 straight up. They have been incredible as an underdog, including both of the opening 2 games of this Western Conference Finals set against the Timberwolves. Meanwhile, Minnesota, booked as a favorite in every home game. The only time the Timberwolves have been booked as a favorite throughout this postseason, just 3-4, both straight up and against the spread, meaning when they win at home, they cover the number, but they have a losing outright record as a home favorite throughout this playoff run. I do wonder, in the 4 games we have seen so far in the Western Conference Finals, the winning team has also covered the number. 3 of the 4 games, the underdog, Dallas in games 1 and 2, Minnesota in game 4, the Mavericks as only a 1.5-point favorite in game number 3, winning by 9. And oh, by the way, that 9-point margin, the largest we have seen out of the 4 contests in the WCF. All 4 games decided by single digits, 3 of the 4 by 5 points or less, which initially had me believing, Donnie, that I actually kind of lean with the Timberwolves winning this game outright, staving off elimination once again, and forcing a game 6 back in Dallas. But maybe the Mavericks keeping it within the margin, even though the margin is not necessarily large, at only 4.5 points. But that public fish starting to look like we need to back the Timberwolves.
Yeah, it does. And also, when we had Coach on yesterday, figuring how this series could possibly turn out. Could we get to a game number 7, which again will be home in Minnesota? But the question mark is going to be, really, if this game moves to a game number 6, is the Minnesota Timberwolves going to be able to perform in Dallas when we've already saw Dallas clinching against a higher-seeded team in game number 6 yep. in their own building? But there are a lot of question marks coming into this because, again, getting back to the conversation yesterday where you had a chance to say, okay, this wasn't a guy that was unheralded stepping up and claiming his spot, saying, I'll rescue this team. It was the superstars of the Minnesota Timberwolves coming up big in the biggest moments when they hadn't done that just yet in this series. So that momentum turning over should be like, okay, Anthony Edwards has his feet under him here finally in the Western Conference Finals. Carl Anthony Towns also has the same. Let's see if they can duplicate what they did in Dallas, because if they do that and pick up a victory, they're going to have a lot of confidence rolling into game number 6. And yeah, this is the way we were supposed to play for game number 1. I understand we blew game number 2 in our own building, but that's not going to happen again. I'm just interested to see why we're so happy here as a public betting on Dallas. Is it the points? Is it they think they can win this game? Or maybe we're thinking it was a fluke and Carl Anthony Towns goes back to being 0 for 8 from 3-point range and Anthony Edwards isn't ready for the big moment yet. Yeah. That's an intriguing number because what you anticipate, Ben, is right. Two good basketball teams. Most people usually lean towards the home court. Maybe we get 60% of the tickets, 55% of the tickets here on a public favorite. Now you have close to 8 out of 10 tickets coming in on Dallas. No real line movement in this spot. That's an interesting equation to see if it plays out tonight.
You mentioned them, so let's show them, huh? Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, their points props for game number 5. The Ant-Man actually up by a point, 28 and a hook. Cat at 20.5. Of course, the two combined for 54 points in game number 4. By far their best performances throughout the Western Conference Finals. And for Carl Anthony Towns, his first time scoring 20-plus or even above 15. He hit 4 triples, including a couple of clutch deep shots late in that fourth quarter. 20.5 his number. He scored 25 in game 4. 28.5 for Anthony Edwards. He scored 29 in game number 4. Getting to the rim once again for Anthony Edwards. And Donnie, you were all over it, thinking that Anthony Edwards was going to flirt with a triple-double. And boy, did he. Just one assist shy of that triple-double. He has had at least 7 dimes in all 4 games of the Western Conference Finals. He has also gone over his rebounding prop tonight, which is listed at 7.5 in 2 of the 4 games. He had double digits in game number 4. We said it entering game 4. If Minnesota was going to force a 5th game, if they were going to avoid the sweep, they needed their superstars to step up. I would assume we have the same sort of consideration entering tonight's 5th game.
Absolutely. And if you are looking at that triple-double market, you saw last game on the road, Anthony Edwards at game time at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, 29-1 for a triple-double. Now he's back home, flirted with a triple-double the past 2 games. He's dropped to 10-1 in that market price. Luka Doncic, who did get the triple-double in the last game, he was around a 3-1 price. He's now closer to a 4-1 price at a plus 390 for a triple-double. We'll see if that happens there. I don't know if I'm as high on Anthony Edwards because really sometimes it's number specific. When you see a number like, wait a second, this guy could get a triple-double and it's around 30-1. We're so used to seeing like Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, plus 210, plus 250, 3-1 going, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. And it's also odd that Anthony Edwards, I don't believe, Ben, even had an assist at halftime in game number 4 and finished with 9. So you might think to yourself, boy, that was a really bad beat. He had 9 rebounds and 9 assists, you know, entering into the second half. That wasn't the case here. He really turned on the gas pedal late in that basketball game to even get close. We'll see if he does that, but I'm not as high on the triple-double as I was in the previous games. But if we're just looking at superstar power at this point, I mean, who's toe-to-toe? You could basically say right now, if you get a better game out of Luka Doncic than you get out of Anthony Edwards, that's probably going to be it. But again, having faith in Anthony Edwards, finally seeing the light in that previous game, I expect a big-time performance out of the kid in this game tonight.
Yeah, the PRA props would make a ton of sense. Luka Doncic did record a triple-double in game number 4, his second of this set. However, both Luka and Kyrie stayed under their points props in game number 4 for the first time in this series. Buck talk? No, more NBA talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Tonight is game number 5 of the Western Conference Finals in Minneapolis. Sure, the Timberwolves did not get swept, meaning that both conference finals rounds did not end in only a 4-game sweep. But just because they force a game 5, does that mean this series has any life? DRS entering game number 4. The Dallas Mavericks were a -2,500 favorite to win the Western Conference. Dallas still remains a hefty favorite at -560. But I bring up these series odds to make this point, as we have shared. This series, the 156th time in NBA playoff history, a team has taken a 3-0 series lead in a best-of-7 set. That includes what we saw between the Celtics and the Pacers, and including Boston and Indiana in the ECF. In the previous 155 times, the team that has held a 3-0 series advantage has won the series. Only 15 times in the prior 155 has a team even won 2 consecutive games to force a game 6, which is what Minnesota is attempting to do tonight. So if the odds track and the Timberwolves at least win outright as a home favorite, it will be something that has rarely happened in the history of the NBA postseason.
Yeah, and we'll see if we even can make it to a game number 6. And probably a lot of those series were a sort of role reversal, right, where you had the sweeps typically coming from the higher seeded team, which means they won the first 2 games on their home court, then they won the next 2 games on the opponent's home court. But if they didn't, let's just say we get that one last stand and we force a game number 5, typically goes back to the home court and they close it out. That's why we don't ever get to a game number 6. So a little bit of a role reversal the way this series is playing out. But based on the odds, we are expecting to have a game number 6 in the Western Conference Finals. We'll just see how it plays out tonight, because obviously on paper, if you're just going by the odds, check it off. The Minnesota Timberwolves should win this game. But then again, if you were doing that in game number 4, it should have been the Dallas Mavericks ending that series. And I actually thought that series would end in a sweep where Dallas would handle home court. They weren't able to do so. Yeah. And here we are tonight.
The spreads in Dallas's favor at home in Texas, just 1.5 in both games 3 and 4. Yes, not very large spreads in their favor, not very hefty home favorites, but the Mavericks would be a home favorite with the potential to clinch a series even if they drop 2 straight to Minnesota. Why do I bring that up? Because right now in the correct score market for the WCF, the Mavericks to win in 6, 4-2, +145, a number that I think you should jump on if you believe Minnesota wins game number 5 tonight, because you would have the Mavericks as a home favorite with a plus money line ticket, ipso facto. All right, more news around the association. Brian Keefe, as we shared in Washington, has the interim tag removed. He is now the permanent head coach of the Wizards, but maybe more importantly, the head coaching news yesterday in the association. Ty Lue agrees to a 5-year, nearly $70 million extension with the LA Clippers to become one of the highest paid coaches in the NBA, and a 4-year tenure in Los Angeles will continue at least for the foreseeable future. Donnie, you made this point when we discussed this earlier. Bright pastures, you would think, for the Clippers entering next year, at least monetarily and investment. They move into the Intuit Dome, the state-of-the-art facility that Steve Ballmer has building up in the City of Angels. That starts next year. The Clippers get their own home. The Clippers have a head coach they can rely on with a sturdy background. And now the question is, who do the Clippers have on the floor playing in L.A. next season?
Yep, next year, getting back to Inglewood. Yes, there we go. And the Intuit. By the way, that place is really interesting. And I want to see if that's one of those future arenas where everybody tries to model. Because when you talk about a guy that's been in the tech industry for as long as their owner has been with all of that money, he's going to press the boundaries. And we'll see if it works out in their favor. But yes, Inglewood always up to no good, typically with the Clippers. Why? Because they never win anything. But I do think they have a very good basketball team and a very good coach, which puts you in the mix on a year-to-year basis. I don't have any issues with Tyronn Lue making that much money, because it's not a set, man, now we can't bring in another basketball player. No, there are no restrictions on coaching staffs and right. how much you can pay them in the NBA. They got their guy. They wanted to keep him there. They wanted to keep him happy, and they did that. So continuity in the head coaching staff sometimes is just as important as the team itself, Ben.
And I don't think there's any restrictions on the wallet of one Steve Ballmer. So
no.
Ty Lue, in his first year at the helm in Los Angeles, after winning a championship, of course, with LeBron James in Cleveland. Producers, please check that. Make sure I got that bit of info right. Ty Lue led the Clippers to their first ever appearance in the Western Conference Finals, something Doc Rivers failed to do when he had Lob City back in the day. That was 2021. The Clippers into the WCF, but not into the NBA Finals. Then they lost in the play-in tournament the year following, and then two first-round exits the last 2 years where availability and health has been the question. Kawhi Leonard, if he doesn't want to play in a playoff game, he doesn't play in said playoff game. We don't know exactly what the future holds for Paul George this summer. The rumors have already started with Paul George in a certain city that Donnie Wrightside loves. Philadelphia. Could PG be on his way to Philly? What is next for James Harden? Many questions to answer for this Clippers team that has been assembled to win not a playoff series, not a second-round playoff set, but a Larry O'Brien trophy, and they have failed to reach that mountaintop.
Yeah, it feels like they need Tyronn Lue to be a player coach out there, which means he can actually suit up because half his team doesn't like to suit up in the playoffs due to injuries at this point. And changes in the future could be. I like the team, and I would be very surprised, to be honest. Like, unless Paul George says, I just want to get out of Los Angeles, which he fought so hard just to get to Los Angeles from OKC, there's a lot of money around. Those guys are going to keep happy with big paychecks here. I think they keep the band back together, but also – what does that mean? First round exit again next year? Because something has to change on that basketball team. You can't just bring everybody back and pay everybody. Like, yeah, you know what? This is our year. Because when the playoffs start and James Harden isn't there, and or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, who always likes to dip out in the playoffs, something's got to give here. But I do like the coaching move to keep Tyronn Lue there. But the players are the ones that have to show up in the playoffs, at least be ready to play.
Yeah, listen, if they keep the gang together, the odds are going to be optimistic. Yeah. I would guess L.A. third, fourth best price to win the Western Conference crown. Quickly, 20 seconds left in this segment. Trivia question. Where did Tyronn Lue play his college basketball?
I don't even know.
Why am I asking you?
I have no idea.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers has his jersey retired. God. I was there.
Nobody knows that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On the ice we go. Game number four of the Western Conference Finals last night in Edmonton. Not at Rogers Arena. Not at the Rogers Center, at Rogers Place, a difficult place to win, although Dallas did do so in game number three to take a 2-1 series advantage. That's the Stars over the Oilers. But game number four, Edmonton evens. Despite Dallas going up 2-0 early in regulation, they scored an opening goal, Wyatt Johnston tickling the twine, less than a minute into action. The second goal, less than 5 minutes into the opening period, for Edmonton to rally. And then Donnie Dreisaitl woke up on this Thursday, checked the box score, and had a large smile on his face because his cousin Leon scored a goal. He scored, made it 4-2. Connor McDavid had three assists last night for the Oilers, and Edmonton evens the series with a 5-2 victory, which means we are tied at two games all in the Western Conference Finals.
Goes over the total. That's what you want to see. And also, when we talk about correlations, right, Ben, we usually talk about the NBA, and particularly in the Western Conference Finals, where we're saying, hey, the Minnesota Timberwolves play really good defense. If that game stays under, there's a good chance that they won that game and or covered. You take a look at the Edmonton Oilers. What's the last thing you want to say? Hey, by the way, the final score in this game was 2-1. Immediately, you probably go right to the Dallas Stars as beating the Edmonton Oilers. But this game was 5-2. You'd say, yeah, higher scoring game. Edmonton probably got the best of them. But I can't get back to, you know, the open opening moments of this game when you know if you're the home team, you want to keep the crowd involved. The fact that they got down 2-0 and how quickly crowds can typically change in home arenas when they're upset in the playoffs. And matter of fact, not even losing by the time they got to the end of the first period, evening that up, and then easily handled the business the rest of the way. 5 unanswered goals by the Edmonton Oilers, enough to lift them up.
Crazy.
This series has been phenomenal. Now it turns into a best of 3. May the best team win.
Donnie, I can't tell you how many times you look at what we have seen throughout the Stanley Cup postseason, and a team takes an early lead, or they're up multiple goals, and that lead just evaporates. It's like no lead is safe, but that's Stanley Cup playoff hockey. And yesterday, Edmonton entered game number 4 as a home favorite, expected to even the series, minus 137. It's what they did. They won by 3, 5-2, over that pregame total of 5.5, as Donnie alluded to. But if you could have bet the game live when Dallas was up 2-0 early in the opening period, 5 minutes in, you would have had a huge money line number on the Oilers. Live betting Stanley Cup playoff hockey has to have been profitable throughout this postseason run. And I said it before, after taking that 2-1 series lead, victorious in 2 straight, games 2 and 3, Dallas entered game 4 last night as a heavy favorite, minus 260 to win the Western Conference Finals. The Stanley Cup favorites as well, having that series advantage. But now we head back to Dallas for a game 5 and a best of 3 from here on out with a series tied at 2 games apiece. And we are very, very close on that money line once again. Minus 120, the updated number on the Dallas Stars. DRS, are we going to go the full duration? Are we going to see 7 in the WCF between the Oilers and the Stars?
I think we probably end up that way. And also, when you just take a look at that graphic and see the numbers here on the money line for the series, that shows a lot of respect to the Edmonton Oilers, because it's roughly a pick'em, but it's a best 2 out of 3 in the Dallas Stars building. And the Dallas Stars are a very good opponent and a very good hockey club. So I'm feeling good. Now, if I would have saw something like a minus 165 price on the series for the Dallas Stars, that would give me a little bit of trepidation here towards betting the Edmonton Oilers. But a lot of times that we just look at the spread before a game starts or a series of where that price point is, and you say, you know what? That looks like a really good price point for the Edmonton Oilers at this point. So I think we are going 7. I hope we go 7. That would be fantastic theater to watch it play out to see who actually gets in the Stanley Cup Finals. And also, we might have a 7-game series in the Eastern Conference as well.
As we well know, all 4 teams can win Lord Stanley's Cup at this point. Mm-hmm. But Dallas and Florida, co-favorites to win the Cup at plus 230. Edmonton back by 60 cents. The Rangers, the longest price, which is interesting. Somebody needs to tell the odds makers New York has home ice advantage in the world's most famous arena. Mm-mm. That's Madison Square Garden, where we head for game number 5 tonight in a series tied at 2-2 between the Rangers and the Panthers. But nobody has told the odds makers DRS, because Florida, a road ice favorite for the 3rd consecutive game over the Rangers in MSG, minus 125, the number now.
Yeah, by the way, from what I hear in the Northeast here, more Devils fans in the area, more Islanders fans in the area, better home ice advantages in those buildings than in Madison Square Garden. Plays out, checks out.
Who did you hear that from?
Kevin Walsh.
Oh, hey-o.
Mike Carver.
Speaking of the hockey guy, Kevin Walsh, mm-hmm. since leaving the early line, loves to talk the puck. We'll do that. But it's a full hour. The return on TEL for K-Dub. Next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof,
Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.